Welcome to the law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker, a computer telecast where no legal advice is given and the lawyers are ghosts. Our only clients are topics of discussion and there is no justice for the wicked or pristine. Your fake lawyers are Matt and Greg, two men with no redeeming qualities and with opinions of no value. Listen at your own risk. And with no further ado, welcome your hosts, Matt and Greg.
Welcome back. This is part two of our meeting with our second client, Most Useful Inventions. Prepare yourself for issues that you should not be concerned about at all, and you should not even care in any way. But it will involve Hitler's brain, the Crusades, and do planets have rocks? I think that's what you were waiting for. Let's listen.
Yeah, so the writing implements, yes, that is another invention, I agree. But the finger wasn't, but that's probably the first writing implement, writing in sand.
Yeah. Unless religion is correct, and we are inventions. And we were original creations, we were invented ourselves. So, or depending, well, it depends upon the religion. Some religions don't believe it.
Yeah.
It depends upon the religion.
Yeah. So. I grew up Catholic, and I gotta say, they're not batting 1,000 when it comes to, like, correct things in that book they read. It's almost everything's wrong in that book. It's crazy. It's cuckoo.
No offense to anyone.
Just
I knew a guy who was a Baptist minister, and he would say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was misunderstood.
That definitely happens a lot with religion, and
it does, and that's basically because of, like, illiteracy over the millennia. That's where the biggest problems occur, is from uneducated people being taken advantage of by educated people.
Yeah, the priest caste. They could just say, this is what this says in the book, trust
right.
us.
Right, yeah, exactly. And people would trust them because they didn't have a reason. They didn't understand about duplicity. They didn't understand that there's evil people, right, other than, you know, Satan. But they don't understand that, like, that's what's going on. And I think that's why religion has taken such a firm hold, is because it gives life to the concepts of good and evil, which people can see all around them, and they can go, okay, well, this is a good thing, this is an evil thing. Harming others is bad. That's something that I can get behind, and that's why there's different religious movements, because people see those truths within themselves, and it's not so much as faith as reality for those people based upon that. And then they just determine whether or not, when faith comes in, which is dealing with whatever particular deity they're happening to follow, you know. So
yeah, faith is nice. I wish I had faith. It seems comforting.
Well, you do.
I won't die.
Everyone has faith in something.
Well,
not necessarily a deity, but they have a faith in something, that something is going to happen.
Yeah,
or
I'm saying
not
that
going
kind
to happen.
Of faith, religious faith, like, oh, there's life after death. That would be nice, because I'm scared of dying. It's sad to me that my whole thing is going to go away. But, you know, if I believed in heaven, I'd be like, it'll go on for all eternity. That's nice. And yeah. I'll see my dad again. I could see my dad again in heaven.
Sure.
You know?
I mean,
I would love that.
It's a comforting thing.
Yeah, but you know, I just can't believe it.
You don't have to.
I wish I could.
And that's the thing is,
I think
where the most people, the pushback comes from is because of true believers forcing their beliefs upon other people and saying that these things are true without making it so that the person can decide for themselves. And I think it's the hypocrites in the different religions that have created, those are what have really created atheism. You know, I think people would have been all fine to go along believing things involving their faiths, because most faiths are about things that are positive, for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, although some of them have aspects to them which aren't so fun, you know, like not being able to eat bacon, you know.
That's horrible.
It is. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And if I had only known growing up, you know, what I know now, that ham and bacon are, like, things that I should have had much younger. Anyway, but regardless, the point I guess I'm trying to make is that things get bastardized and things get changed and things get taken over by people with bad motives, bad motivations.
Yeah.
People who are selfish, people who are actually evil, because there are certainly evil people in the world. If nobody's met a serial killer, then there are ways to find them online and get information about them, realize what true evil is, which is the destruction of others without their personal consent. So those particular people gaining power and using the words that were designed to help others and twisting it to their own means. And unfortunately, what that creates is other people with similar motivations to follow those evil people and then pass the things on as truth. And I think that's what's happened with probably every religion on the planet.
Well, you don't want to go to hell. So you'll obey these people. You'll be like, I don't want to go to hell. This guy's saying I'll go to hell if I don't do this and that and this. Things that they're telling you to do.
Right, so, in the Judeo-Christian faith, sure. But I'm talking about like the other faiths too. It's a similar thing. You know, there's various different punishments
for not obeying.
And sometimes those punishments are worthwhile to have in place.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the hell thing. Sure, like you have that threat hanging over. It's kind of like, you know, nuclear weapons, like what we talked about before.
Yeah.
You're a deterrent to creating other crimes, but some people are willing to take that risk. They're like, well, it's not going to happen. It's like the guys who would steal things in the Arabian cultures. They would get their hands cut off. They knew that was the law. They knew if they got caught, their hands would get cut off. Yeah. They're like, it's not going to happen to me.
You know? But in Christianity, you can always repent on your deathbed and be like, and it works. According to their theory.
For certain people. Sure, if you bought a certain amount of, saints' bones, that could, like, salvage your soul.
Indulgences.
Yeah, or whatever they were called.
That was very corrupt. But even now, like, if Hitler, in the bunker at the last minute before he shot himself, said, I accept Christ, I was wrong, he's in heaven right now. According to their beliefs, a Christian could not deny that if Hitler said, I was wrong, I'm really heartily wrong for what I did, I accept Christ as my personal savior, he's in heaven right now, and all the Jews he murdered are in hell because they never accepted Jesus as their personal savior.
No, they don't go to hell because they're God's chosen people.
No, I'm saying Christians think they are. Jews don't have a hell. They have Sheol or whatever. It's the mild form of hell. But
Sheol, but
Christians
believe
in hell.
Well, no, actually, there are Christians who don't think Jews are going to hell, too, because they are God's chosen people.
That's a loophole I've heard, but also a lot of people think if you don't accept Jesus, you can't get to hell.
I mean, there's so many different... I mean, within these different brands of different religions, you're going to have different ideologies. Like,
that's a major one, though. I'm saying that's a major dogma of Christianity, like growing up Catholic. It's like, if you don't accept Jesus...
Yeah, but there's so many Christians who think Catholics aren't Christian.
This is true, and they're dumb.
Well, it's easy to say that.
But just because they follow Jesus.
But they feel the same way. You know?
They follow Jesus, though.
Well,
so
would you say that Mormons are Christian?
Yeah.
Okay.
They follow Jesus.
And many people
do. They're a weird sect of it.
But then there are a lot of people who say they don't because they also follow the angel Moroni and Joseph Smith.
They don't follow him. That's like the Holy Ghost. You know, in Catholic, you could say Catholicism, you could say the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary or these other gods, a pantheon.
Right. And people have said that. It's like idolatry.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And I get it. But Mormons, anyone who follows Jesus, in my eyes, as an atheist, that's the textbook definition of a Christian. There's lots of different sects. They're all different.
Right.
Some have totally different beliefs. Jehovah's Witnesses, all those different offshoots. But they're Christian.
Right. And they kill each other.
Yeah, I know.
And they're really good at it. It's like with the Crusades. You know, I think it was in the first Crusade, the Coptic Christians were coming out to join the European Christians as they were going to the Holy Land. And because they looked like Saracens, Moors, they were the first ones killed.
And they looted their shit.
Yeah.
Do you know about the Children's Crusade? This true thing in history, this is one of the most horrifying things of history.
No, I'm
where
familiar with that.
They convince all these children through their religious fervor that you're going to come on a crusade. These are kids like 10 years old, some of them. And we're going to go to the Holy Land and whatever. I guess fight as good as 10-year-olds could fight against grown men. And all these kids believed it, and the parents were like, yes, this is a great thing. And then they just took them and sold most of them into slavery. It was this total scam, but thousands of English children and French children went on this children's crusade thinking they were fighting for God. And these guys just like totally sold them into slavery.
I mean, children have been so abused by history. It's
I know, but this is
some of the
church.
Most. I'm just saying, it's some of the most horrible, horrible things that have been done to children who are innocent beings. I mean, anytime one clan beat another clan, they would have to wipe out all of the children so that they wouldn't grow up and take revenge upon their clan later on. So they had to kill them all. You know, it's like so many atrocities that have been created for the sake of people's own paranoia because they know they did something wrong. So it's like taking out all witnesses, you know. But I remember reading a story. I think it was of Saladin and the Crusades, and they were like throwing babies from the parapets.
Nice.
It's like,
In the name of God.
yeah,
In the name of a
and
pacifist
we
God
don't know
who's.
which God we're talking about, you know. So,
Well, Jesus.
oh, I thought you were talking about Allah.
No, I thought it was the Christians did a lot of massive and
I can't remember
horrible
right
things
now.
in the
I think
Crusades.
everybody there. I mean, Christianity was a reaction to the time, right? That was
Yeah.
basically why it evolved into a religion, initially espousing the concept of loving one's fellow man, because there were so many human rights abuses that were taking place against people, and so there needed to be somebody who was saying something different. That was basically the revolution of its time, right? And so that was the need, the necessity of that era. They had to have somebody like that, or things would have just continued the way they were. Because, you know, they were still massacring Jews back then. So, I mean,
It's a lot.
that's how Christ wound up on a cross. You know, he was Jewish, so it's like, there you go. It's just he pissed off the other Jews, you know, who didn't necessarily have good people leading them at that time either. Regardless, I don't know, you know, I don't know how we devolved into this whole
Yeah,
conversation.
we're really going heading south quick.
Well, we could talk about other inventions that have like created these things, like the invention of war implements, right? Swords, knives. Like, would those be considered useful inventions?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately that we needed them, but ideally we wouldn't have ever wanted to make weapons, but we had, people who were warlike
Well, I think it
and they got
started
better at it.
with there were animals that were trying to eat us. That probably is where
Yeah.
it started, you know.
Well, according to Stanley Kubrick in 2001, there's this big black rock
Well, he
that
didn't
came
write it, so you
through.
mean Arthur C. Clarke.
Yeah, I know, but in the
Yeah.
movie, it made it more people know the movie. And he, I don't, there was the first caveman who actually said, "Hey, my fists aren't nearly as good as the stick."
Yeah.
That was an invention when he actually said, "I'm going to use this tool that'll help me kill people easier without bruising my palms and knuckles."
But was it used originally to kill others of the same kind or to kill other animals to eat?
I imagine at roughly the same time. As soon as people could hunt, they were killing each other too.
Because they were potential food as well, I would guess.
And they were animals, if you believe this wacky conspiracy theory that everyone believes, is that they were animals, they were monkeys who went around killing each other,
Well, you
killing other
know that
animals.
not everyone believes that, Greg.
Well, 2% of non-scientists believe that, yeah.
2% of non-scientists.
I'm saying
There were
scientists.
tons of scientists who do
No, I'm.
not believe in the Darwinian theory either.
Which makes 2% tons. 4 tons if you put them on a
If
scale.
you weighed
That's
them, yes.
eight
Yeah.
guys
There you
maybe.
go. So yeah, you could say tons.
No, I know there's obviously lots of religious people, but they're not coming from a scientific. They're just like, this is what my book tells me. So yeah,
Well, the
2%.
scientists have believed in religion for eons.
Yes, they do. You can believe in religion. Growing up Catholic, a lot of Catholics are kind of like, oh, the Bible's a metaphor. The earth's not 6,000 years old. He didn't make it in 7 days. You take it as a metaphor. You still have this vast faith and love of Jesus. But it's like, yeah, come on, this is silly. All this shit doesn't make sense. So let's say it's a metaphor. Easy out. It's not to be taken literally. But then, like more evangelical types, they're like, no, it's literal. The Noah built that ark just like that. The earth is 6,000 years old. Man walked around with dinosaurs.
Yeah, and the word was misunderstood.
Just like the Was Not Was song. They walked the dinosaur. I think that's cuckoo.
Tell me more of that song. What do you mean?
I can barely remember. I hate that song, by the
What
way.
is your
It's terrifying.
point regarding bringing that song up, though?
Well, because walking the dinosaur, and if humans were around with dinosaurs, they might have walked their dinosaur, like in the Flintstones. They had their pet
You think
dinosaur. What was his
people
name?
are like walking
Dino.
alligators around?
Well, Fred would walk Dino around, wouldn't he?
All right, that's a cartoon, but we're talking about literally walking a dinosaur.
But based on hard science.
So, no, I'm doing it based upon hard evidence that there are lizards that live among us. And do we walk them like pets?
Some people do. You've never seen that? Like people with their iguanas and they're in the supermarket with a little leash on them?
I have not seen that, though. Okay.
In Florida. Go to Florida. You'll see it.
Florida, that explains it. They're walking their alligators.
Yeah, that Florida man guy. He does.
Walking a salamander. Walking their newts.
It might. But a salamander you can put in your pocket.
I think I kind of want to see someone walking a newt.
That would be cute as hell. I would.
It's like
I would put that on TikTok.
That's where the aglets come in, is to tie them around your newt's neck.
Yeah, that would be a perfect leash for a little tiny newt.
I wonder if there are actually videos on YouTube of people with their newts as pets, and if they like treat them like other animals.
It's there, I'm sure. Everything's there. Everything has been done.
How big does a newt get, anyway?
I'm pretty sure they're tiny. Like, even the biggest one is, like, I don't know, a couple inches.
I think eventually they become Speaker of the House, don't they? They get that size?
Oh, that's rich.
You're so For funny. All of you who know the 90s, that was a 90s joke.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't, look something up. Look up the word newt and politics, and you'll get a whole different concept of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Speaking of inventions, the invention of the name to signify an individual.
Nomenclature, naming people?
Well, nomenclature is the entire body of words for a particular subject, but I mean naming people themselves to differentiate them from other people. You know, I mean, there was the longest period where people's surnames were based upon the name of their father or their mother, right? Like, Erickson, anything with the last name son on it, or
Miller, daughter. John Miller,
right?
Miller son, but I mean that just that was you didn't need to have.
But that's the last name. So, like, where do these first names come from? You know,
I think just for the same reason language was invented. Like, it's clear. Like, you don't want to have to sit there going you, and everyone's like, me, with him, who are you talking about?
Right, but it would be. I think it would initially come out of like an occupation. Or a quirk
I don't think
of the individual.
Back what? Then. They were just a bunch of cavemen in a tribe. Maybe there was king.
Or like leader. Or like a quirk, you know, that somebody has. Like the guy who's got the stutter, or the guy who always pisses on your rock. You know, call them rock pisser.
I think you're right. Like one eye, or
right, and
gimpy,
like
gimpy.
Or there's somebody like a really good person, and they'll be like blessed by Baal, you know, or something. Along those lines, in terms of name, because you know the Native American names can be quite lengthy in terms of the description of an individual.
Well, I think it had to happen as the population grew. You couldn't. There was a lot of Millers. You go to another town, but I'm John Miller, the Miller's son. So eventually, I don't know. Yeah, but I guess how did that happen?
Well, people I mean, look in the phone names? Book. How many John Smiths are there?
There's a lot.
That means a lot of people were making iron.
Yeah. A lot of people were milling.
Silver or gold.
They were milliners.
That's kind of an interesting thing to look at for just a second. So all of these different inventions associated with names. So you have a mill that's invented, and then you have people who go into that particular occupation of milling, because everybody needed it to eat, right? So milling would be the thing that would set up your status in your village.
You were the main industry in that town, probably.
Right, and smithing was always important because people needed their pots and pans, I guess the
horseshoes.
Tinsmiths. Yeah, well, there's horseshoes and there's weapons and there's tools that people needed that had to be created by the smiths, and not everybody could do it. They either weren't strong enough or they were doing something else. There's a number of different occupations out there that were started because of specific inventions. So I'm curious, like the milling and smith ones we kind of came up with off the bat. What other ones are there that are based upon inventions that have become people's last names? or first names for that matter.
Sandwich? Earl of Sandwich?
Well, no, that was a backwards thing. The sandwich came out because of that Earl, not the other way around. Sandwich was...
The Xerox machine, named after Michael Xerox.
I'm talking about an occupation that becomes a last name, not the other way around.
Oh, I mean, hundreds of them. There's so many, like, so many old-timey names. Like
I know, I was saying, we said Smith already. We said Miller.
Oh, and Miller.
Let's say some others, like Hunter would be one, I think.
Right. Which one?
Hunter.
Yep, Hunter.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of people with the last name Hunter. Archer?
John Middle-Level Management. I know a guy named Matt.
I don't know if that was based upon an invention, though. Maybe the invention of management?
Oh, an invention, yeah, yeah. Wait, so let's think of what was the industries back then? I mean, blacksmith, milling, merchant? Natalie Merchant? Maybe she's a great-great-grandfather.
Well, you know, merchant is a last name with a lot of people. Yeah, yeah. That certainly could be that. Soldier? I mean, have we ever heard soldier as a last name?
Dick Army.
Sailor? Army, sure. You could be like an army man, but never heard
Dick Army.
Right?
Taylor. No, I don't think I've ever heard someone named something.
But Taylor, definitely.
Yes, obviously, yes, Taylor. Well, that's a first name more than a last name, it seems.
Well, nowadays, but it used to be a last name more than a first name.
Yeah, like Robert Taylor. I forgot about him.
Sure, and all the other people with the last name of Taylor.
No, just him. He was
like our president, Zachary Taylor, you numbskull. Anyway.
What do you think Trump's family did that they became Trumps? Was that a job at one time, trumping things? Maybe there was a
pope? Well, no, I think their original last name was a German name. I think it was Drumpf was the actual...
Oh, so that might mean something in German, a job.
It changed to Drumpf.
What do you think a Drumpfer does in Germany?
I don't know, but
what job is that?
I'm sure there's some kind of translation we can look up.
No, I just want to hear your idea.
My explanation of where Trump comes from?
Drumpf? I'm a Drumpfer in Germany. What do you think that means?
I don't have any idea.
I'm kind of sex worker.
Because the word Trump itself, as opposed to what his last name derived from, comes from the word triumph, right?
Oh, really? That's how they changed it?
Yeah,
it's
just it's an alteration of triumph because it was used in card games, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah. So, but Trump's original family name was Drumpf, and that was changed in the 1600s.
Ah, because they left Germany, probably, and they were like...
Right, so then the question is, what does the word Drumpf mean? So that would be, like, worth looking into, I guess.
Yeah, it might mean nothing. Just be a surname.
Well, it would be kind of an odd thing to just come out of nothing, right? Especially if it's going back to the...
means anything. You know, some last names are just weird words, I think. I don't think Pettix means anything, my last name.
Well, seems like it could come from the word drum, or it could come... There is a word called Dumpf in German, which means damp, dull, or heavy, but that would be too easy.
So it was a fat drummer boy was his long-ago ancestor.
So Trump is a German surname from a word for drum, but
it could be he was a drummer in the army or even in a band, minstrel show.
It's a Bavarian word for drum. It's on record.
There you go.
Blah, blah, blah. So it could be that, yeah, they were musicians way back when.
Yeah.
And so that became, the last name was drum, you know. And then it became Drumpf and then Trump later, whenever they changed during the 30 Years' War.
Your last name is a. Do you think there's a job called the Bracci?
My last name, if
I'm
you
a
have
Bracci.
My last name, the direct translation, because it's Germanic and Swiss in origin,
is condescending.
No. So many in my family could be called it, but it means roasting ski.
Sorry, roasting what?
Ski, like a ski that you ski on.
Roasting ski, that's just like nonsense.
So, right, it doesn't make sense. So, but, you know, maybe that, like I said, that's the direct translation. So there may be some idiom that's associated with, but if you take brat.
Yeah, right, I totally get it.
From
bratwurst.
Brat, like bratwurst, right? And then
ski.
Then S-C-H-I, which we pronounce chi here, could be, is the word for ski in German. But there's a theory that my ancestors are actually Italian, and they traveled over the Alps into Switzerland and migrated to Switzerland. And then the name became Germanicized, because there's a lot of Braccis that are Bracci from Italy, Bracchi.
But they say Bracci.
But you'll find the highest concentration of Braccis outside the United States in a couple of towns in Switzerland. So essentially my ancestors on my dad's side of the family are from Switzerland. On my mother's side of the family, they're from Eastern Europe. So remember last time we were talking about I'm mixed race in a sense. You said white on rice, and I said no, it's more like white on Kugel, because on my dad's side of the family, very much white Anglo-Saxon Protestant types, mother's side of the family, Eastern European Jews. So it's like that is the hybrid that is my ancestry.
And the Eastern European people invented Caucasians. They invented the Caucasian. That's their invention.
They invented
them. Because they're from the Caucasus Mountains. That's where the word comes from.
The Caucasus Mountains?
The Caucasus.
Caucasus?
Yeah, Caucasus.
What?
And that's where the word Caucasian comes from. Because they were
Caucasus?
Caucasus. Oh, sorry, C-U-S.
What?
C-U-S, caucus.
Uh-huh.
I think it's spelled the same way as a political caucus, actually. I think it's the same spelling. Oh, look at you laughing at me, condescending bastard. Just because I'm a little drunk and slurry.
And because you've told me before that you're not so good with geography.
Oh, I'm not, but I just know about the caucus.
You're
mountain.
Close with the term caucus, but you're not quite there. But I'm not going to...
I misspoke.
But I'm not going to look it up for you. I will let you do that on your own sometime, and you can determine where the word Caucasian actually comes from.
Well, that's where it comes from, but then I could laugh at myself when I find out I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of having you laugh at me.
You should do that, and anybody else who listens, they will be laughing at you, too.
Well, don't look it up. Trust me implicitly. I know what I'm talking about. I'm a podcaster.
This is what we've
obviously
learned.
I know what I'm talking about.
We've definitely learned from our last few programs that nobody who listens to our show should believe anything we say unless...
Except what I say. Just
unless you want to, or the one thing you should believe is that people were dropped off here as prisoners from other planets. That's the one thing you should believe. If you don't believe anything, that's the one...
You can't argue with that.
That's the one to believe. Nothing else.
Objective fact.
Nothing else.
Unassailable fear.
All myths are true, and that's the one thing to believe. So that's two things to believe. All myths are true, and aliens brought us here. That's all
and
you need to know.
Things are important.
And
you need to, things are important.
Things are important. There was a preface to that, though, wasn't there?
I don't think so. You just came up with that.
I think I said something that... just before I said things are important, there was some a small clause just before that predicate was added to it.
You're hoping that somehow you made it make more sense with your...
And by the way, everybody, I may use long words, but most of the time I really don't know what they mean. So just now when I said clause and predicate, I think I may have messed up grammar and syntax completely. Is there any English teachers who are paying attention to this? I think
turn off now.
It's okay to correct me. I'm willing to learn if I make mistakes. And
they're
that's why I tell
that.
People don't believe
gone.
They haven't made it this far in the show.
They cut off as soon as you did that. They don't want to hear bad grammar and misuse of words on that podcast.
I was with them all the way up to clause and predicate, and then I was done.
Until Greg misspelled the Caucasus Mountains. That's I cannot stand that.
And mispronounced it.
Yeah, I don't mind listening to...
Misspelled and mispronounced.
I don't mind listening to racism against hillbillies and...
Wait, now I have to make sure that I'm making fun of you appropriately. So I have to double check something here. I'm joking about what you're saying.
Is there ever an appropriate time to make fun of me, Matt?
Okay, yeah, no, this I was definitely appropriate for me to make fun of you in your pronunciation of those.
Well, I did misspell it just because I misspoke.
It was even more than it was more than even just misspelling, but. Yeah, the mispronunciation was there every time you said it.
No, caucus is the way you say it, the Caucasus Mountains.
No. Anyway.
How do you say it?
Like I said, I am not going to give you any hints.
Because you don't look know. That,
I just looked it up. I proved myself correct.
You didn't even know what the Caucasus Mountains were until I told you. You never even heard of them.
Wow. What is a Caucasian?
Is they that come a, from the Caucasus Mountains.
No, it's a type of car from Yugoslavia.
That's a pretty cool name.
Speaking of inventions. All right, let's talk about unsuccessful inventions that became, that are still popular, though.
The Chia Pet? Because they never work. I've had so many Chia Pets, I couldn't get those seeds to sprout. Or maybe they did, but
I didn't know. I think that, but that brought up, like, sea monkeys.
Oh, that was a scam. That's what that was.
Man. I mean, as a kid, I remember ordering them and expecting to see, like, these interesting cartoon creatures that would...
frolicked in a bowl and did little skits for me.
And I'm like, I later find out that they're brine shrimp, and still, those were dead brine shrimp. They did nothing. Nothing
they
lived.
Died in the shipping, right? They probably were dead when you got them.
It was like, and then there's, like, x-ray specs, right? Did we ever expect those to actually work?
How did they get away with that all those years? Because even
because
the 50s,
they were marketing 60s, it to idiot kids who
I know, like, but they still were like better business bureaus back in the '50s and sixties and seventies, and
not
somehow those
for
guys
ads
were
in the
it.
Backs of comic books.
It was still a product that made money. I mean, they could have said, "Hey,
they're still selling them." I think they sell them like they're novelty items. So you can say it's a novelty item, and like nobody really expects these things to be true. So how could they get in trouble for that? No one would expect it.
Did you ever get the onion gum? Do you think that really tasted like onions? I kind of wanted.
I never did. I never. I think we got. I got the black soap once.
I
think that worked.
It made your hands black. Did it actually work?
Yeah. I think that worked. I think I got that as an adult, though. The thing that was always the most disappointing, though, the most disappointing one to me was the hand buzzer, because I expected that thing to be giving electric shocks.
You wanted to kill people with it. You're like, they're not dead.
I wanted them to give the reaction that you saw in the ad, which was like, you know, the pointed lines coming out from them and their hair like buzzing out because they shook your hand and they got buzzed. And I was expecting that type of thing. And instead it was just a wind-up thing. And
what did it do? What did it feel like? A tingle? A tickle in your hand? Basically?
You know those little wind-up toys where little things go bup, 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 bup.
Well, also, it just vibrated.
Basically, it's just the thing turned. You know, if you pressed your hand on it, the thing turned. You know, the other unsuccessful inventions is like fake poop or fake barf, right? Because none of those things look like the real thing.
I've seen some good fake barf in my time. You just got the wrong fake barf.
That could be
taken for a ride.
All the times
you
got to
go with the quality names of fake barf. There's certain companies that really cared about making the most authentic fake barf and poop.
What's the name of that company?
It was called Vomito. Vomito Inc.
Vomito.
They were craftsmen, master craftsmen. Every detail.
Pooparama.
You know what I love? I've seen this ad because I'm a comic book collector in old comics. There's this one that's like $2 working rocket ship. And the picture makes it look like this cool rocket ship that you and your two friends could sit in. And maybe it flies like a rocket ship. It goes into the stratosphere. Like they're very vague. And apparently people have gotten this. I've heard a story since. It was literally a box with some things painted on it like a spaceship. It was a fucking box. Maybe it was tapered, so it looked a little streamlined.
I like the other idea better. It's actually a cake. You're giving a cake in the shape of a rocket ship.
Wouldn't that be better than getting a box?
The only reason I say cake is because my mother did a rocket cake theme around the time of Apollo 11 for like my brother's birthday, and there was pictures of the cakes that she made. But they were like these round things with... not very pointy tips to them for the rocket cone. The cone was not quite a cone. It was more like a coffee filter. It's like a coffee filter that came to a little bit of a point.
Yeah.
So that was the cones on these rockets, which were kind of like missile silos more than rockets.
Well, I think it's sweet she did that. Because
she would have been...
even though it was crappy. It was a crappy...
She would have been in her, I think, her early or mid-20s when she did it. So, yeah, it was... And that was back, you know, that was Ecuador time. That was, I think we were living in Ecuador at the time my brother...
During the Tuna Wars?
No. The Tuna Wars came after, I think, Apollo 11.
Okay.
Yeah, so Apollo 11 was like 69...
Yeah, that was like going through the Cuban Missile Crisis. I remember as a little baby.
We missed so much comedy regarding the Tuna Wars. We could have had so many really horrible jokes associated with fish fighting each other.
I've told
like
so
they
many
could have hired like mercenaries like swordfish to join in to do their fighting. But if they fought in the dark, they could like get lanternfish to help them out as well. Anyway, but yeah, we missed our opportunity. For that,
we could always bring it back.
Little bit of comedy gold for the Tuna Wars. For those who want to know more about the Tuna Wars, you need to listen to our first podcast and listen to our first client, which is Favorite Ethnic Foods. Why the Tuna Wars involve Favorite Ethnic Foods, you'll have to find out then. Anyway.
You know, I've actually talked to a few friends. You know, yes. Hey, Greg, what's new? And I've been like, oh, I'm actually doing a podcast with my buddy.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. I don't even know if I want you to listen to it. It's kind of embarrassing. But the Tuna Wars thing is kind of interesting. I've been like, he did bring up this really cool thing I never heard of as a fan of history. I was like, the Tuna Wars? What the fuck is he talking about? Did he make this up?
I know.
Is this like his spaceman theory?
I think that if I had not lived through that event, I probably never would have heard about the Tuna Wars either. I'm sure there's a lot of things that I would have never grabbed my attention. For example, when I mentioned Aquino getting shot in the Philippines, it's like, who the hell's Aquino, right?
Yeah.
Why did this guy get shot? Why is this important? Well, we didn't delve into that. I just kind of said it offhanded, and it's going to continue to be offhanded because I don't feel like getting into the history of it right now. But
Aquino was the guy who followed Somoza, right?
Huh?
Not Somoza. Who are the dictators who like the shoes a lot? Marcos. Ferdinand Marcos.
No, he wasn't following Marcos.
Oh, he was before.
No. He was somebody that Marcos didn't like.
Oh, I thought he ran and won. I thought he was the leader for a little while, no?
No, it was his wife. It was his wife that wound up becoming the leader.
Oh, I knew Aquino sounded familiar.
He was shot. His killing was basically what made it possible for his wife to become the president of the Philippines.
Oh, okay. She was like Indira Gandhi.
To a certain extent, I mean, was Indira Gandhi married
no,
to
just
Mahatma
like
Gandhi?
They were clones.
The same person.
No, I mean that Gandhi was the one that made all the change, but he never...
That was the best invention. Cloning of world leaders was the best invention I think ever made.
Yeah, the good ones. Not the
humanity.
Hitler clones. All the Hitler clones. No, I don't like them.
Well, they all live in your neighborhood.
So they could. I don't know.
They had to go somewhere. The heavy cloning of Hitler.
Do you think that Hitler's brain is still a thing? Everyone always talks about, like, oh, they saved Hitler's brain. It's somewhere. Do you think there is a warehouse somewhere that has Hitler's brain?
Well, let's just say that they do. So what?
They could clone his brain or put it in a robot and make a robot Hitler.
Well, if you take it from a perspective, like a spiritual perspective, right? So the body is, if you take it from a spiritual perspective, the spirit left Hitler when his body died and went to wherever that spirit thing went, right?
Yeah.
So all that's left is just the brain, which has nothing to animate it. So even if they were to clone it, it wouldn't be the same person to inhabit it. It would just be the same brain.
We're getting into a whole other 2 hours about, are you born a certain way? Are you not? Is it your life experiences? Or some people are just, their brain was wired to be this way from birth.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, are you a victim? Are you a victim or are you in control of your destiny?
Or not necessarily a victim, just, you know, some people do great things, even though they had a shitty childhood.
Well, you know, and that's what I'm saying. Are they victims or are they in control of their destiny? That if they did great things,
they chose to
be in control of their destiny.
Some people aren't victims. They're very successful, but that was their destiny. They've got a brain that they're super smart. It didn't matter if they grew up in a ghetto with no education. They became geniuses and succeeded. And it seems like...
Wait, they could grow up in a ghetto and have no education and still become geniuses and succeed?
That's what I'm saying. So it's in your brain. It's not like your life experience.
It's not necessarily in your brain. It's like saying all of your intelligence is in your computer. You're the one who still has to put the information into the computer. The brain is just
a computer. Some people are just smarter naturally. It has nothing to do with the way they were brought up, their experiences. Yes. Some people are just fucking brilliant.
Yes.
I mean, we know this. Yeah. Mozart had the same. He was pretty well off. Yeah. But there's other composers.
Well, like Elton John was obviously a genius.
Yeah, I think so too.
Sure.
Like Mozart, just as big as Mozart.
Bigger.
I'm being sarcastic.
Sarcastic?
Yeah, it's like sarcastic and caustic combined. Oh,
but
you're
but so it's like unfunny?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going for.
It's combining un and funny together.
I like to make up words. I like to combine words and make them up. Uh-huh. But it works. Because usually when people are sarcastic, they're being caustic. They're basically cutting on you and being
so then
caustic.
Why do you need to combine them if one word defines it?
Because sometimes sarcasm isn't necessarily dickish. It's just funny, satire, good satire, you know.
But then it's not quite sarcasm, is it?
I'm doing sarcasm to maybe, like, take someone down a peg who deserves it. That's not caustic. That's like, you deserve that.
Well, then that's completely different.
It's not shitty.
Then that's, it's either sarcasm or it's caustic.
But it could be both. Because you could be caustic and not even sarcastic. Just like, you suck. That's caustic. That's not sarcastic.
I think caustic is a little worse than just saying you suck to somebody.
Yeah. Like, I want you to die.
I think it's like getting a little deeper than that. It's not, I mean, saying I want you to die is something that's used a lot by people, but without a lot of meaning. It's being caustic is essentially taking something personal to somebody and driving your thumbnail into that particular wound more and more because you're really wanting to harm the other person. Sarcasm, I wouldn't say, is necessarily designed to harm somebody. I think it's more designed to just... It's just designed to ridicule a person, which is a harm in its own sense. It's just not... You're not as willing to commit as digging into the wound. No.
Okay. Basically, so
Someone who's sarcastic isn't as committed as someone who's caustic. Someone who's caustic doesn't care what they're doing to the other person. Someone who's sarcastic, they don't care, but they don't really want there to be flashback on themselves, so it gives them, I think, a buffer zone of being hit back.
That's why this word is necessary in the English language, because sometimes people are sarcastic very caustic way, where they're like, you're not just trying to be funny and a little sly, you're really trying to hurt me.
Right, but then it goes out of the realm of sarcasm. It's no longer sarcasm.
It still is. Sarcasm is saying something you don't really believe, because it's the exact opposite, you know, a certain tone maybe, that's part of it. Like,
that's the definition of sarcasm?
Like when I said, Matt, your eyes look so pretty right now without your glasses. No, actually, I meant that. I'm kidding. But I could have done it that way. I could be like, wow, Matt, you look so good without your glasses.
Uh-huh.
Or with those googly, creepy eyes on.
Which is how they normally look.
Yeah, that's sarcasm. But sometimes it's just good-natured fun, like a little rib. But then sometimes
what would make it, in your mind, sarcastic?
Yeah, I mean, I should stop saying it. I'm going to stop saying it. Sorry. You shamed me. End of word. One of the words stricken from English language to the Matt Brocky's causticism is Costcoism.
I win again.
You win. Yeah. You have diminished the English language.
I am the winner. I have given Greg some common sense. I win again. I win again.
Fuck the richness of the English language and its current, just enriching it. Just cut down words.
Sometimes I just want you to make sense, Greg, and I'm doing my part to make that happen. That is all.
That's a noble pursuit. Okay, so I go to Matt's karaoke shows for years, and he does it for 4 hours. I don't think I've ever seen him go to the bathroom. He has bladder control. He's older than me, Matt. In my last 10 years, I got to pee all the time. Like, I'm old. I'm getting older. But I never see you go to the bathroom. It's very rare.
I know, and I have 600 extra pounds on top of my bladder than you do. You'd think that it would happen, too.
Yeah, squeezing it out. Or maybe it's like diffusing into your body, the urine, and you don't have to...
Well, I do occasionally use the restroom. Yeah,
I know you do.
I do it
4 hours. When I'm at my job doing karaoke, I go like once every 45 minutes, I think.
But you also are pounding down beer and booze the entire time you're working, whereas I don't do that.
Do you drink water? Water's the same. You know?
I'll drink water or soda primarily. But I don't drink it like you drink alcohol. You drink alcohol much in higher quantities than water or soda.
I actually do drink a lot of water when I'm working because I figure I'm drinking this much. Yeah. I don't want to be fucked up tomorrow. So I drink pitchers of water on top of my bourbon and Coke.
Okay.
But yeah, this is a little personal. I don't know if anyone's even less care about this than what we were talking about.
So. You know, the real point of this, again, is to preserve these ridiculous conversations that we have. And if people choose, if they want to follow this idyllic journey of ours into wherever
idyllic.
It shall go.
Idyllic, yeah. So pleasant.
If they want to follow along with it, that is their choice. We'll either make enough money from this so you can get a pizza or not, but at the very least, it'll be preserved, and I won't have to talk to you anymore for the rest of the week. So that's the other good part about this, is we can get it all over with in one setting, so I'm not on the phone going, oh, this is taking like 3 hours, I got to get off the phone. So we can do it all in one setting, and then we don't have to talk again the rest of the week, because we've got it done and preserved, and if I want to hear from you, I can just replay the podcast and hear your voice more that way.
I'm glad that you think talking to me is this big chore that now you have, ooh, I have this excuse that I might get Greg might get a pizza out of it, and now I can get all my talking to Greg.
Yes.
Let me tell you guys, though.
Glad you feel that way.
Matt's being a little disingenuous because before this podcast started, we basically chatted for 45 minutes, even though we could have started any time. I'm probably going to call Matt in 2 days, and we're going to talk for 2 hours on the phone about stupid shit.
Not if I can help it.
You know what's going to happen. I got your number.
Oh, damn, you're right. You do. So, God, how long has this one been?
This is, I don't know what we're thinking. This is like...
We've been yammering for a while.
I mean, we're going to have
to
do
like,
a lot
I think
of
about, I'm going
to
be doing a lot of editing because
yeah.
There's like peeing talk in here and, you know,
well,
other
definitely
things.
That.
There's a lot of me babbling.
Just edit out a lot of stuff you said because you were just saying nonsense. But keep everything I said in. I want everything I said. Everything.
What you have to say is definitely a lot more important than what I have to say.
I was giving gold out to the audience and you were just, sometimes you were giving tin. Copper.
My basic metallic level is pewter. So I don't want you to
isn't that silver? That's silver.
Misinform anybody. Listen, you know what? You have some research to do. One, you need to look up the proper pronunciation of those mountains you mentioned before, and two, you need to look up the word pewter so you know that it's not silver, you whack job.
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't know about ancient smithing. What an idiot I am. What
pewter
a moron.
Is not ancient. Pewter is a pewter.
The common pewter bowl or pewter fork or whatever they make pewter into.
I don't know, like in the last 20 years, I think.
I know, but it seems like this antique-y thing. Not many people have pewter. It's a fancy.
Well, you know, it's there is the potential that it's just associated with my mother, who would buy pewter objects. So it could be that that's the reason why is because
my mom did too.
She bought the stuff, but it's not antique-y per se. It was like newer things, but I can't remember the last. But I remember pewter is like definitely not silver. So you still need to look up.
No, I am.
You're right. And I shouldn't intelligence shame you, because that could certainly diminish your entire psyche. I should not be making fun of you in terms of the things. Well, I mean, it's a legitimate criticism, because there's certainly plenty of things that I don't know where somebody could say, well, why the hell don't you know that? And I would go, because I'd never heard of it before. And there's always a first time to hear something. And that would be the normal advice I would give to somebody else if I heard somebody else talking like I did to you.
Well, I could also do that to you. I could be like, Matt, you don't know who drew Captain America 247? What the fuck's your problem?
Actually, I want you to say things like that to me, because I would really like to deal with that.
You might know, actually.
No, I wouldn't have any clue.
I thought you were at some comic.
But I would love to deal with a personality that would act that way towards me, because those are more fun.
Yeah, but that would just be a lame thing to say. Because you're just hateful. People want to be your friend, but you won't let them.
I don't know that anyone... I don't recommend anyone really being my friend. There's a certain type of personality, I think, that can handle my particular point of view. You seem to have that...
I totally agree with Matt.
for a certain stage, you know. But there's a lot of people that really don't appreciate the way I communicate for whatever reason.
I get it.
Yeah, so for whatever reason, and it's and understandably so. You know, I'm not necessarily the nicest person in the world. I'm not necessarily.
No, you're tough but fair. It's not like you're not nice. Some people deserve a little talking to, and it's like, get the fuck out of my face. You're being an idiot.
But I don't really say that to people either.
No, you don't.
I usually give people. I give people kind of an opportunity to go to a point. But I think it's because I'm a challenging communicator. In other words, people, which is the reason why we have our program called the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker, is because I challenge the things people say if they say things without any evidence to back up the things that they're saying, because I want to know, for one thing, if what they're saying is true, and people don't like it if you're trying to find out if what they're saying is true because they think you don't trust them. And it's not really that I don't trust them, it's just that I might not trust the source of the information that they're getting their information from.
And yet you just said that Adam and Eve were spacemen with no evidence. So it's okay for you. Do as I say, not as I do.
I'm not saying that it's true. I am saying that why not throw it in there in the realm of possibility with every other damn thing that's out there.
It's a fun thing to speculate on, but sure. It's entirely unlikely.
Well, it's as unlikely as, you know, people growing out of monkey suits.
Why? You know, dogs. Look how many breeds of dogs there are. You know,
yeah,
like
and they're still
a
just
thousand years
dogs.
Ago,
why just, haven't dogs evolved into?
They were just wolves.
But why don't they speak?
No, they haven't evolved. I'm saying, look at in 200 years how.
That's
like
my point, though. They've been around as long. I'm saying they've been around as long. Why haven't they evolved into something that is intelligent?
That's a totally different philosophical religious question. But obviously, we were monkeys, and instead of just changing, like,
I'm not willing to say to obviously. I don't know how it's obvious.
Do you know that all dogs were once wolves? Right? There was wolves, and then somehow through breeding, we had poodles,
okay,
Great Danes,
yeah,
pugs. They don't look a thing like each other. You would think they were different animals if you didn't know better. You'd be like, what the fuck is this Great Dane and there's a pug? You'd be like, they're obviously different species. But they're all dogs, and they all come from wolves. And that's only like...
I don't think you would consider that. I think you could still consider that they're dogs.
No, because you live on Earth and you know what a dog is. But
no, they speak in the same language.
Rough?
Yes.
Bark?
They act in a very similar way in terms of how
they
do.
I don't know if that's true. A poodle and a lab?
I mean, in terms of how they deal with humans. In terms of how they deal with humans, most of them are easily domesticated.
But look at the genetics there. Like, obviously, creatures change.
Right, but yeah, the creatures change, but the intelligence hasn't changed.
No, but sometimes that's going to happen. It's a very rare thing.
When you say sometimes, what else has?
I was just about to say, in the universe, I know there's intelligent life. Just the
odds.
No,
you don't know.
Crazy.
How do you know?
Just mathematically.
What invention has enabled you to see into something else that you don't have any proof of?
Math. It's just like, obviously.
So it's guessing.
How could this just happen on one planet? There's a billion.
Well, if you're going to go based upon that particular measure of faith, then why not have a faith in a God as well? Because it's just as mathematically possible.
No, it's not.
Why not? Why couldn't, if we evolve from monkeys, why can't a man evolve into a godlike being?
That could happen.
Well, let's just say it did. Well, I'm just saying,
godlike being.
Well, we don't have any we don't have any actual evidence of evolution.
But you know, well, all scientists at least their theory that
right, but we don't have any actual evidence of it. So what I'm saying, though, is if we're willing to suspend our disbelief, okay, that we evolved from monkeys, okay, which is, I don't care if we do or not. It doesn't really mean anything to me if we did. But we did. Let's say that. Then why is it any stretch of the imagination that man, in this form, couldn't have evolved into something greater, especially if you think there is life on other planets? Because of mathematics, which is what you've said before.
Probability, yeah.
Okay, so probability is that life has been on other planets that is intelligent. So why is the probability so low that there couldn't have been a being that is much more advanced than us?
There could be, and you might become that person, Matt, but we would know it. You would give us some evidence that you're out there. I can't imagine you become a supreme being or just like, I'm going to do all these crazy things in the Bible. I'm the supreme being of the universe. I'm going to do irrational things. I'm not going to let anyone see me ever.
When you were a child, did you ever step on an anthill?
Yes.
Did you ever go back to that anthill years later and check on it?
No.
Okay. Same rule applies. Okay.
Those ants knew I existed. Those ants saw my foot crush them. They weren't like, there's no evidence. They saw this big monster guy.
But all of those ants are probably dead now. All they have is the stories that they passed on
to
other ants. But they're all probably dead. Okay. But that's just you.
There's this big guy.
But that's just you, right? That's you and this particular generation of ant. And let's go back 100 generations of ants who don't remember you whatsoever. Let's go forward, 100 generations, right? All they have are the stories that other ants are giving them, that you existed at one point and did this.
They keep seeing humans. They keep seeing these monster humans running around stepping on their anthills. It's a thing. It's just, this is nature. This is what happens in this world.
Well, only if they're around that particular anthill. But what if you're in an area where they're never there again?
Not you, but another human.
But what if they're in an area where there's never humans again? Maybe it just happened to be the one-time thing.
Then it would maybe become a lost legend that's not provable.
Ding.
God has never shown himself.
You don't know. Maybe. We've got stories about him.
Schizophrenics. Yes, schizophrenics. And crazy.
We've got stories about him where people say that they experienced it.
Yeah, crazy people. God is talking.
Well, you know, that's what people say about those people. But the point, again, that I'm making is that it doesn't have to be necessarily the way he's portrayed or how any particular god is portrayed in any particular religious work. It just happens to be that that's how somebody mentioned it, passed it on to somebody else a long, long time ago, and got, it's like the telephone game, you know, things shift along the way. So there could have been, again, using probability, using mathematics, using science, that there was a godlike creature who put people on this planet and then left and never came back.
You're forgetting about all the logistical consistencies. Apparently, God wants us all to love each other and not kill each other.
Uh-huh.
And yet, he's like, I'm never going to see a few people except for Moses. Maybe five guys get to see me.
But it's other people who maybe have changed.
And then
I'm going to
make a Bible that only 1/50th of the world might read. You know, eventually they got to read it. I'm just going to tell this group about my laws.
Uh-huh.
All those people in Africa and Asia, I don't care if they don't know the path. I'm the supreme being. I want them to live this way. It's God. Uh-huh. I want them to love each other. But I'm not going to tell anyone else.
Well, you're just talking about one ideology, though. I'm talking about
any ideology. Yeah. It's like, why? So God, the supreme being, it has no logical consistency. It just doesn't make sense. You're the supreme being. If you became the supreme being and you wanted, like, humans to act a certain way, like God, like, I want you to stop killing each other.
But what if you were a supreme being and you didn't want them to act that way and somebody else just misinterpreted what you said?
That could be a thing. And so then that's just, who cares? That's the energy of the universe. I mean, it's vague.
Yes, exactly my point.
The black hole could have been created by some supreme being, like actually touched off by an original creator.
Sure.
But he hasn't done anything since, or like that, as far as sentient.
Why does he have to?
He doesn't have to, but then what's
the point? What if he's just relaxing and watching it all like a spectator on TV?
Like atheists do. We don't care about religion because... Yeah, whatever that God did, who cares? He has no message for us. He doesn't give a shit about us. He's gone.
Okay.
So why make up all these crazy rules and stories about what God did? It's like, he didn't do that. You made it up.
Uh-huh.
You're kooky.
But that doesn't mean that God doesn't exist.
It doesn't. Anything's possible. Right. The universe is so vast. But I'm talking about the probability of life on other planets.
Yes.
It's just very probable. It's just... It would be amazingly inconsistent with any known laws of probability that there's so many planets in the universe. It is a rare thing. Just life, single cell organisms are very rare. Not many planets do it. But
do you think it would be that there would be a godlike being? How rare could that be?
Very rare, because that's like fantasy. You know, that's
more fantasy than what you're talking about.
No, single cell organisms, that happens. We've seen it happen. It's going to happen again.
Right.
A figure becomes omnipotent and omniscient. That's Lord of the Rings shit.
Well, it's outside of your realm of experience because you haven't experienced it. You don't know it, though.
It could happen.
And mathematically, someone could put together a mathematical formula to show how it could happen.
It would be, very more infinitesimal than any just sentient life.
Because maybe there's some elements out in the universe somewhere that can cause that change within a cellular-based structure to make them have a different evolution.
Omnipotence, though? I mean, that's magic we're talking about. We're talking about full-on sorcery
magic. It's not magic. It could be just an extrasensory thing that's associated with that particular organism.
You'd just be like a superhero. You wouldn't be a supreme being who could create the universe. You'd just be a superhero, basically. You'd be like Scarlet Witch. That could happen.
What if you've designed weaponry or design objects that could create those things on a larger level? Because who's to say how big a person could become, or some body could become in general? You know, if depends upon the sun in which they were raised on, the planet in which they were that was within that particular solar system.
You're not talking about different biologies, though. You're talking about omnipotence. That's like magic.
It's easy to say magic. I mean, because just to use
it is magic.
The ideology of science. Is that things that were once considered magic are now science. So right now, for you, it's magic, but it could be somebody's science in some other way. Maybe there's some device that was able to be created that enabled a person to have that ability.
So you're saying a non-omniscient, omnipotent person could actually create something that's omnipotent and omniscient and infallible, like
Why not?
A supreme being.
Why not?
It could happen, but because it's made by a fallible, non-omnipotent creature.
Right, but you're putting the term omnipotent and omniscient there, which I'm not really doing.
Isn't that the same thing? Like, if you believe in God, it's like,
it depends upon which religious ideology you're following. I'm just talking about, in general, you could have somebody who creates a planet.
Yeah.
You could have somebody who creates other life.
That's a science fiction concept, yeah.
Sure.
Science
fiction often becomes science fact.
Yeah, you can create life.
Okay, so that being the case, why is this out of the realm of reality?
It's really not, but it's just so improbable that there'd be this supreme being who controls the universe.
I think it's because you're basing it upon an ingrained ideology you were born with, and you're not thinking outside of that box.
You mean the Catholic Church, which taught me exactly that, that there's a supreme magical being.
Yes, you're stuck.
And I am stuck in that. Yeah. No, but I'm saying I rejected it.
Yeah.
It just seems, okay, see, I'm thinking that you're, like, if you keep going with this line of reasoning, then nothing's true. And, like, why even get in your car? Oh, my car might not work. Combustion engine stopped working. They could have.
True.
Combustion engines could stop working. Just the universe will say, we don't like combustion engines. So I'm not going to buy a car because I'm worried this could happen.
If you want to take it to that extreme, that is certainly your choice.
It is. It's not that extreme. You're saying there's a chance that there could be a supreme being who basically is like godlike, you know.
All right, but I'm not saying the person is either omnipotent or omniscient.
I just said that's why
I'm saying that they have the potential to have created machinery or objects.
Yeah, machinery, sure. We can do that.
That could create planets and other life that would make them appear to be omnipotent, omniscient creatures.
Well, if you're ignorant, if you're like a dumb caveman, you'd be like, oh, that's magic. So then you start thinking lightning was a god. Thor.
Okay, and when were these books written?
Which books? The Bible, you mean? Or
sure.
Thor, and Legends of Thor.
The Bhagavad Gita, all the others.
People had no scientific method. It wasn't invented back then. So people just were like, I don't understand this. I'm going to make up a story about it.
But even with scientific method, there's still a lot of people believing many different things.
Yeah. A lot of people just don't care about science or ignorant of it. But also,
but science is fallible also. So it's like some laws shift.
The principle says that once we are proven fallible, we'll admit it. We won't stick to our dogmatic view of the universe. Oh, Einstein proved Newton wrong in some ways. Uh-huh. I guess Einstein was right. He actually proved it. Every scientist pretty much 95% said, yeah, this is a better model of the way the universe worked. Religion doesn't do that. Religion would just say, no, you're wrong. This is our faith. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but we're not debating religion and science, though. We're just debating whether or not there could be something that created things.
We are, but you were talking about, like, creating...
Well, this comes down to inventions, right? This comes down to inventions, Greg.
You were saying I can't prove anything. So scientists, just because scientists believe it, they could be proven wrong, like they have been. They used to think phlogiston is what made a candle go out when you put a glass over it. They didn't know.
Wait, they found what? What made a candle go out? Phlogiston. Spell that.
F-P... You're just trying to mock me now.
No, I don't know. I don't know this word that you're using.
P-H-L-O-G.
P-H-L-O-G-I-S.
So phlogge with a P-H.
I'm not familiar with that term at all. What is that supposed to be?
It's a very archaic medieval word because scientists thought that when a candle was put under glass, it released this fume that put the candle out. They didn't know that the oxygen was being burned up in the glass. So they surmised, you know, it's kind of, that's a reason you could imagine, oh, fire releases this thing when it's put under glass, and it puts it out. There is no such thing as phlogiston. That's why you never heard of it. It's a debunked theory from like 1600.
Yeah.
Because they realized that oxygen, it burns up the oxygen, fire needs oxygen.
Uh-huh.
So but after that, it wasn't like half the scientists were like, no, phlogiston's real. Scientists said, your scientific method was sound to prove this. We concur. We're not going to say, like, go into a schism like a church does. You believe this? We believe this. So I'm just saying it's useful.
So phlogiston was the initial theory, which was then later disproved.
Exactly.
But scientists believed it for a long, long time.
Yeah, and they admitted it.
Okay. So what you're saying is that there is this other theory that people associate with evolution that has the potential to be debunked later on.
I never doubted that. One day someone might say, this is totally wrong, and really prove it, and all the other scientists won't, like, say, you're lying.
Okay.
Unless it's a Christian guy.
So again, my point really isn't about omniscience or omnipotence, right? My point is merely about the act of creation itself, and that there is the possibility, utilizing current scientific method and mathematics, to come up with statistics or odds in which there could be someone, if you have the infinitude of time behind us that could have existed for that a large period of that time, who then created many, many things, put them in place, and then moved on and possibly died somewhere. And so that's why that person is not known about anymore, because maybe they died. But they
God is dead.
But they could have created everything, right?
Yeah.
So that's really what my point is like there could be, if you're utilizing specifically scientific method and mathematics, that could have happened if you're willing to believe that there is life on other planets. And if there's life on other planets, if you're willing to believe that, what's the extent of life on other planets? In other words, how far back does that go?
Most of them are probably just single-cell organisms. Even that's like a rare thing. But then some planets, because there's a gajillion planets, a bazillion planets, it's just probability.
Yeah.
It's like if you had a billion grains of sand on the beach, there's a certain probability that some will be different kinds of sand or something. You know, it's just probability is something that's useful to use. You can't just discount probability because you can't, like, literally prove it, count every grain of sand. Scientists and practical people use probability, say, okay, what's the odds that it didn't happen? With that many planets, it happened to us, it could happen again.
Okay.
So the fact that there's basically an infinity of planets out there, like there's so many fucking planets we can't even count them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bound to have happened at least once or twice. Really, it is a rare thing, though.
At least you hope. There's just no proof, that's all.
I don't want them there. I don't want them coming to our planet because they'll be stronger than us and kicking our ass. That's why I always hated the Voyager probe. Remember that when we were kids? They sent that probe out with a map to Earth and Chuck Berry. They put Chuck Berry and Mozart on it too. Like, this is what we are. And I was like, don't do that. I don't want them coming to us because if they can come to us, they're way stronger than us. If they can travel galaxies, they're going to just think of us as cavemen or worse. Or just, hey, look at this slave stock we found. These primitive fucks.
Yeah.
So don't give them a fucking map to Earth. And I think that was in a movie, like Independence Day or something. They actually said that. They were like, one of those alien invasion movies. They were like, yeah, that was a big mistake. They found it. They found that thing. And they said, thanks for the roadmap. We can now conquer your planet.
That's got potential for a great idea.
But I mean, I cannot prove literally that there's life on other planets. I'm just, you know, probability is a useful tool.
I'm not willing to discount that idea. All I'm saying is that based upon that same ideology of probability, you could have the other ideology being true.
But there's things of lower probability and higher probability. So like if I said, Matt, on many planets in the universe, there are rocks.
Yes.
That's not that hard. That's
well, that can be that can be actually proven.
Well, no, we can't go to Beta. What is someone's galaxy? The Vega system, and see if they have rocks.
We can do it in our own solar system.
Yes. That's one. That's eight planets.
Yeah.
What is it now? Nine? Didn't they cut one planet down?
Well, they got rid of Pluto, but I think they found another one though.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to read the news more. I didn't know. Okay, let's say nine planets. That's nine planets. Yes, they all have rocks. That doesn't mean every planet in the universe has rocks.
True.
I mean, yeah. So I'm just saying some things are more probable than others. And the fact that there's evolution has progressed to such a level.
So here's a question. Does the sun have rocks?
No. It burns everything up. It's a big fucking furnace.
But what's it burning?
Just gases and stuff.
What gases? Where's it getting the gas from?
I think it's been feeding on the same ball of gas since it was created. I think that's how suns work, right? I mean, this is complete non-scientist guy. I thought suns were like this big ball of gas coalesced, and it's been burning since whatever.
Yeah, I never watched enough science programs to know the answer to this question as well.
You didn't watch Cosmos when you were a kid?
I think I watched part of it. I don't know. Carl Sagan was kind of boring.
Yeah. But his stuff that he talked about was
billions and billions of stars.
Yeah, he had that droning voice, but what he talked about was pretty, and they had great graphics. I remember that was the only PBS show that any kid I knew watched. It was like, PBS? What the fuck is that?
No, I watched Monty Python on PBS.
Oh, yeah, that too. But a lot of kids didn't like Monty Python.
I think Benny Hill was on PBS also.
I find that fascinating. My TV market, it was on the shitty TV station where it belonged. Hey, can I go off on a little tangent here?
Well, we never do tangents.
A great story about Benny Hill. I was just recounting this last night because we were talking about charity.
Yes.
And do you know when Benny Hill died? I think he died like 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
I'm not sure.
His whole life, or at least the later part of his life, when he was semi-retired, he was pretty rich, you know, pretty well off from syndication rights and residuals. He would charter a bus, go to old age homes, fill it up with all these people, and say, we're going to the fun fair. We're going to the amusement park. I'm taking you to the museum today. He would do this and tell all of his friends, do not tell anyone I do this until after I die. If you want to, after I die, fine. Uh-huh. But I don't want anyone. He did it for like 10, 20 years. He was doing this sweet, kind, amazing thing to make these people, these old people's lives a little better. Nobody knew except a few close friends. And then when he died, it all came out. And people were like, isn't that, that story just makes me so happy. That Benny Hill.
Well, he died in 92.
Okay, I guess it was longer than that. I forget what year it is.
Yeah.
But I guess the last 10 years of his life or so, he was doing this. Nobody knew. Benny Hill, like, he's not this, like, guy you think is, oh, yeah, he's such a great charitable guy. He's a pervert. He's a dirty old man. And yet, he was doing this for 10 years and didn't want anyone to know, didn't brag about it.
Yeah, I don't know about this tangent. But anyway, I think now's a good time
to
end.
That out.
Because I think the file is probably going to be too big to be unwieldy.
Yeah, you have
for me
to do a lot of cutting.
Yeah, I got to do a bit of that because you don't do nothing on this except jabber, and I got to do everything else. So, I know you get.
But I get the pizza.
You get the pizza, so you get everything. I get to do all the work, and you get the pizza. So anyway, all right, let's end off here because I really got to take a leak now. It's finally happened. This mug is now empty.
Okay.
So I have no coffee left, so that means I'm done.
Once again, apologies to our client. We did you no service for no pay, so I guess it's even, Steven.
But I think we certainly ran the gamut of discussion today, and we may have nothing else ever to say again after today.
I know. I think I'm done with you, actually.
We have no more conversation. It's all over.
Yes.
Anyway, thank you for everyone who has decided to attend and attend. I don't know what I'm talking about. Bye.
And next week, I'd like to give a small preview. Is it too late?
To what?
how most rock lyrics suck. That's going to be our next client, I think. I'd like to think. If Matt agrees.
But I can't agree with that client.
I know. That's why it's called Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker.
Yeah, but we can't say that that's the client, though. I won't accept the client that client. Says most rock lyrics suck.
I won't accept that client. Foods.
You did. I asked you beforehand.
Yeah, to be yes. Nice, but
that is why we agree on the clients together.
I really didn't want to take them on as a client, but you forced me, kind of coerced me.
So. I didn't force or coerce you. I asked
you. Coerced me.
I asked you beforehand, and you said, okay, I can talk about that. So
but you had a tone in your voice when you said it. That I knew
yeah, the tone was one in which where you could understand me. And that's what I usually use is one in which you can understand me. Sometimes I don't, but in this case, I did. So enough being the victim, Greg. We're going to end this off now. So good day.
Bye.
Bye. This has been the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker Computer Telecast, where any advice has been designed purely for amusement and deep-sea diving. Please take a candy on your way out, pet the lion tamer, and subscribe to this computer telecast if you know it's good for you. The Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker deny all culpability in today's events and are not to be confused with real law offices that have a secretary and books and stuff. Thank you all. Have a good day.